Hello, everyone. This is Nataline coming to you from the moon. I'm here at Strawberry Moon Energetics, our first podcast, this little experimentation of the sacred donut. Let's begin with a blessing. Hello, everyone. It's Nataline here on the Sacred Donut. I'm super excited because we're live. We are recording with video today. Yay. So you can see our faces somewhere on something, I think YouTube or something. So I want to say hello, shout out to all our listeners. Thank you so much. You have helped the Sacred Donut podcast just really start to just this little train going up the hill steady. It's really great. So I'm here today with my crew, Teresa Sanchez, our producer, Mariah Cruz Nano, my familia. Well, they're all my familia. Our social media person, Mariah. Hello. Say hello.
Hello.
Teresa, say hello.
Hello.
And Tanya Tenorio Rashad is here as well. She's our artiste and our technical helper and bestie and all those great, wonderful things that she is. So we're here today on the Sacred Donut and really excited about this new season and all the good things that are coming. So Mariah, do you want to remind our listeners of all the good stuff?
Yeah. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You can send us messages on our email, which is thesacreddonutpodcast@gmail.com. We also just created a TikTok account, so hopefully you guys will see videos soon on there, and then YouTube.
Yay. So. All the things. So today on the Sacred Donut, we are going to be talking about, well, you know, when I first, when the seed started to plant, I said, well, we're going to talk about the past lives. And then I stopped and thought, well, we're not going to call it past lives. I'm going to say past lives, but I'm also going to refer to alternate lives, because around here, we preach a lot that time is not linear. And so if time is not linear, you really don't have a past life. You have alternate lives. So if you hear us interchange those words, that's what I'm talking about. Past lives, alternate lives. So alternate lives, past lives, and time not being linear, meaning that we exist in a multi-dimensional universe. And so even though we're sitting here right now talking and in this moment in time, space, and dimension in Colorado, there are lives that we have incarnated in other realities that we are all participating in now. But our attention, our awareness is in this lifetime right now. So if you're confused, that's okay. Do not try to grasp all that is, because it's a lot. So in the idea of our alternate past lives, what I want to talk about is how, I don't think people realize, and I don't know if you, all realize this. I know you all have had some, you know, dabbling a little bit in your past lives, but I don't know if people are aware that it is the primary influence, to your current life. Did you know that? It is the foundation. It is part of the foundation. So we come into this life, we incarnate into this life, and we have a foundation of programs that begin, right? We've talked before about like being influenced in the womb, at conception, birth, but the past lives, and our last episodes was about ancestors. Our past lives are the primary influence, that affects this lifetime. So, I want you to keep that in mind. You know, people often, you know, you do the work, those of you who are out there doing the work, healing and working on all the things in your life to get your life on track and do better and all of that. But if people aren't aware that their past lives have that much of an influence, it is, they're missing a big piece, that they're just sort of fighting against something that they don't even realize is there. So I wanted to go into this because we've sort of been building, if you listen to all the episodes, we've been building this, momentum. So I want people to have sort of a foundation of how we grasp these teachings, how we kind of go in steps to healing. Okay. So by acknowledging this primary influence, your past lives, your alternate lives, we get a jump start. It really can help you in so many ways. Now, people are going to say, okay, how do I do that? Well, this isn't an easy, you know, I have to be honest. I laugh when I don't laugh. I giggle when people say, oh yeah, I think I've been here, you know, before, I've had a lifetime before, and maybe I did something really special. And I'm like, okay, yeah, not just one time. Like the average person has like thousands of lifetimes. We've been here a really long time. So thousands. Now, can you imagine the life you've lived so far? Living a life like this, or similar, or harder, or maybe better, or who knows, but thousands of times, that's a lot, right? Did you guys realize that? It's that many times. So in that idea, I want you to, you know, start to think like, okay, how can I heal thousands of lifetimes? Well, it's a lot of work. Somebody could spend their whole lifetime now trying to heal thousands of lifetimes. What we want to do is start to just acknowledge that there are other lifetimes, because there are a lot of people out there that don't believe in past lives at all. And I definitely, you know, don't want to ever tell somebody, you know, oh, you're crazy if you don't think there's past lives. People believe what they believe. But I definitely hope people would be open to the possibility that there are other lifetimes, right? So, I want you to start to think about, your past lives being, you know, lifetimes. We can talk about them being lifetimes on planet Earth, but they can also be lifetimes in other places, in other planets, other dimensions, depending on your soul's evolution, on the course your soul has taken, what you've experienced, you know, how you've experienced these alternate realities, these alternate lives. It varies depending on what the soul has over time evolved to do. So your past life karma is influencing everything all the time. Okay. So your subconscious has impressions. So we say impressions from your past lives that show up as blessings or curses from those past lives. So in your lifetime right now, you could have blessings or curses that show up from past life impressions. Okay. So I love to think of it like this. As you react, you impact. Okay. So in your life right now, as you react to something, which is really scary to think, because sometimes I'm a little hot and I can react to things and I'm like, man, am I going to be paying for this in the next round? Right. Mariah and I are the same. We're a little hot-headed. And so I want you to think about how I react, I impact. So how we have reacted in other lifetimes, we now are impacted by. We have these impressions, these imprints in our programming. So when I talk about programming, if you haven't listened to any other episodes, the programming is the programming in our consciousness that has created the beliefs, the behaviors that we have now, okay? So if we are influenced from these other lifetimes and they show up now, we're creating these impressions and they control a lot of our impulses. They control our behaviors, okay? So past lives are the primary program. So get this again. Past lives are the primary program that influence your current life. This primary program influences all the other programs. So that primary program from past lives, and I'm talking thousands of lifetimes, influence the other programs like your conception, your gestation period in the womb, your birth, and the 7 years after. They flow in and out of each other, but it is the primary focus. It is the primary. So I always think of this. I don't understand betrayal. Like, I really struggle, right, with betrayal. And I think we all have probably experienced that. And I've had, experiences over my life where I've been betrayed. And I really don't, because I feel like I come from a family that's very forgiving and a family that's very, like, we're the kind of people that, like, you might hurt us, but if there's a conversation, if there's some effort, if there's, you know, something, that these things can be rectified and healed. And, but to me, to just straight up be betrayed really would, over my lifetime, I just like couldn't understand. I don't understand like why that's necessary. Well, I have come to know over the course of my personal work that, betrayal has been a theme in many lifetimes for me. So it has showed up. I've had visions. I've had experiences that I know I've been betrayed by people who are in my life now. And this is influenced from other lifetimes. Okay. Am I making sense? Are you all following?
Yep.
Okay. Marie, do you tell me what are you feeling right now? Like, what do you know about past lives? What do you...
My mind's kind of racing. Like, okay, one, would deja vu kind of be like that whole, is it because you're running in different, you know, different like portals come up at?
Yeah.
I mean, what would deja vu be kind of?
That's a good question. So some people believe that deja vu is like a skip in the tape. So if we're running this program, I think in the Matrix, like they show, you know, there's like a, yeah, a glitch that sort of like you realize like, wait, something's right. The program is off. So deja vu can be like, we've been here before, but this is where I'd say deja vu would be the glitch in what's happening in this lifetime.
Okay.
Past lives would be where you have a vision of yourself in another time period, in another location. So that would be more of entering like a portal or a dimension where you're walking along and all of a sudden you have a flat, like a smell. Let's say you walk into an Indian restaurant and you smell curry and you have a vision of a lifetime in India where you go, oh, wait a minute. Like that's not the now. Where deja vu is more about where we are today.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So then if there are, like, I know we hear a lot of people here say the first time they smell copal, that brings back.
Yes.
Would you say that's more of like a lifetime?
Yes.
Like,
so for our listeners who may not know what copal, C-O-P-A-L, is an incense. It is a resin from a tree. These are from the copal trees in Mexico. And indigenous people in South and North America use copal as an incense, as an energetic cleansing, a purification. It is sticky. It's a resin. So it's sticky like, you know, like resin, like sap from a tree. And so often when people come to Strawberry Moon or ceremonies that we do and they smell copal, they will have a sort of like, what is that? That's familiar to me, even though maybe they've never in their lifetime actually seen it or experienced it. Absolutely. So to me, they might not have a vision of their past life, but their DNA remembers, the cellular memory remembers.
And it just seems so familiar.
So familiar. And so that's a really good example. If something feels really familiar. So if you have a familiar, if something feels familiar as in a place, or a time period, I always say, if you're attracted, like when I was a kid, I was so attracted to and so mesmerized by like the Aztecs and the Incans and the Mayans and anything that looked like that. Indigenous, yes, but especially those particular indigenous cultures, people, I really like felt such a deep, like in my being, right? So then here I am, fast forward, doing the work that I do. It makes sense. So, and I know for a fact that I lived in those places, in those times. You know, a lot of people who feel that way, kind, you know that they've come from, or like I know somebody who, you know, they smell cherry blossoms, or they have a really deep connection to, the Asian culture, that comes from a deep, you know, I had did some work with them, and, I didn't know this about them. I had a vision of them in a place where they had cherry blossoms, and the clothing, I could just see her dress and her feet. And when I mentioned it to her, she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so attracted to that time period." And I said, that to me is it was a past life that was coming in to be healed. So familiarity is like a really good way to sort of know. Little kids, if you ask little kids when they're real little, or believe them when they say, I love stories of when like a little boy will say, you know, be fascinated with like war planes. And then you'll ask him about it, and he'll say, well, I flew one in World War II or whatever. And parents are like, no, that's impossible. And well, no, it's totally possible. If you had a lifetime then, and he's only a few years old now, that was, you know, quite a while ago, he could have incarnated and into this life. And many children, especially nowadays, have these past life memories where they're coming in and they're saying, or there was a story about a little girl that was afraid she would be in her yard playing, and she would freak out when planes would fly over. And they, you know, finally, as she got older and could explain, she said that she died in a plane crash. And so every time she'd hear a plane flying overhead, she'd freak out. So her last life, she had died in a plane crash. So past lives, the memories are there. We just have to tap into them. And so, you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying at all. Okay. I'm not saying this, but when I was a kid, I used to, think that when I would see the Lincoln Memorial, I remember sitting, no, so this is why it's fuzzy. Okay. I remember sitting in the chair and having cement poured over my head. I was Lincoln in the memorial, and I'm born on Abraham Lincoln's birthday. So in my mind, I was like either him or Abraham Lincoln, which I don't really believe that I was Abraham Lincoln. Okay. But, I had this strong connection to him, but I, for some reason, have this memory of that monument being built. Like I remember the cement being poured. And so I would, as a kid, say, did they pour that? You know, I'm talking little kid. Did they pour the cement over my head?
Like, maybe you were the one that designed it.
I think I had something to do with it. And I don't know what year it was. We'd have to look into that. But anyway, it was a funny thing that, and since I was born on his birthday, I always thought that maybe I had some connection to Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. So Tanya is saying about, being homesick for a place. Absolutely. We hear a lot of that around here, that people are homesick for other places out in, you know, in the cosmos. And I fully believe that that's because you come from star, you know, we are star people and we come from other places. So homesickness is definitely one of them. Sacred sites. And, you know, I've been wanting to talk about sacred sites, and I'll dabble just a little bit in connection to alternate lives or past lives, is sacred sites can really trigger memories, especially these old sites like places in Egypt, Guatemala, Mexico, temples, pyramids, things like that. Absolutely. I've had several really profound, like never quite the same after, I've had these experiences at these places, because the memory kicks in. Your cellular memory goes, I remember this place. And either it, one experience I had felt very much like I remembered the destruction of it. I remember when the fall happened, and it was like devastating. Like I felt that heartbreak. And then in other instances, I've had memories or visions of lives where I thrived, where I really, felt like I was there at the prime of that. But if you figure, you know, we've had thousands of lifetimes, and maybe they've lasted, who knows, anywhere from, you know, I mean, we could only live a few years. And so you could live to be 5 years old and then incarnate. You could live to be 90 years old and incarnate. The Buddhists believe, I think it's the Buddhists that believe it's about 2 weeks for incarnation, that you can come back in 2 weeks. However, I also really take into consideration that when we cross over, we have a lot of work to do. So there is a past life review. You have things you've got to figure out and work on. But maybe you're like a go-getter and you're like, get me back down there so I can work on that karma that I just accumulated in that lifetime. So do either of you have any past life memories or things that you think you were a part of?
One that's really vivid is when we went to Chaco Canyon when we were probably like maybe 10, 12. And so Chaco Canyon's in New Mexico and there's Native American ruins there. And I remember driving through the canyon and it was moonlight was the only thing lighting it up. And I remember looking out the window and I could vividly see the fire and them doing ceremony, dancing around it. And I could almost hear the music. I could feel the music. I could smell the smoke. And I just knew like I was there. Like that was, it just resonated. And I was young. And I remember being like, was that a dream? Or did I really just see that? Was it like,
yeah.
So, and I know like, and I've always had a very strong, like anytime I hear a drum beating, I just feel mm-hmm. it in my like mm-hmm. being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that's the things that hit the senses, the smell, the smells of things, you know, like I said, like a spice. I had to scratch my nose to smell. The spice, the sounds, you know, certain sounds can bring in memories like that. If you go to historical places, you know, and see, like I read, now I can't remember the name of it. I was in college and it was in a literature class and it was a book about the Holocaust, but it was a cartoon and it was mice. I would have to look up. I can't remember. Forgive me. I can't remember the name of the book. But it was like a comic. It was a very intense comic book type of book and it was all cartoon and they were mice, but the mice were, they were the people having the experience in the Holocaust. And I remember, and I don't know, I'd have to find out why the author did it this way, but it had such a profound effect on me that, I fully felt like, oh my gosh, I've been, you know, I fully believe I had an experience during that time. And then when Schindler's List, the movie came out, that really, till this day, like when I see that on, I just feel like I've had an experience this year where, you know, starvation was a part of my experience. And I totally feel like it is part of my imprint from the Holocaust. I feel like I had to, again, experience starvation because of the impression that the Holocaust had put upon my life from before. And so I have a deep sense of that and don't have. So for our listeners, you know, when we say memories, it might not be a memory that you have like about your childhood in this lifetime. It might not be that clear, but you have a sense of the, you know, there's like something there that you go, I have had an experience in this. Something feels familiar. That's the best word to put here is a familiarity. And patterns, again, because if this is the primary influence on your current life, look at some of the big things. Like for me, starvation was one of them. Look at the big things that influence your life, especially in like a dramatic way or a traumatic way. Or in things like where I said about betrayal, you know, to me, I know because I've experienced it and always sort of sat back and thought like, what is this? I don't understand why people feel the need to betray. Like to me, if like, you're not happy here, just tell me bye and we can end the relationship. You don't have to like do me dirty to do that. But what is it about that betrayal, that is showing that I know, you know, I look at it and I go, okay, this isn't from this lifetime. Like I remember standing, I was a male, I was an indigenous man standing on like a cliff, and I was living in some kind of house. And it felt to me, it wasn't like a teepee, and it wasn't like a hut. It was sort of ish, some sort of like a mud straw building up on a cliff. And I remember standing over the cliff, feeling completely devastated. Somebody had betrayed like my community, my people so profoundly that I don't know if we were like wiped out, I was one of the only ones left. We were getting ready to leave. That was the feeling. And I've had that reoccurring like dream memory experience show up over and over in my consciousness where I'm like, I know that was real. That wasn't just like some story. I made sure like, did I ever see that? I never saw it in a movie. I didn't read it in a book. It was like, I remember distinctly. And all I remember the most was standing at that cliff. And I was probably a mid 40 to 50 year old man, and just devastated, just like so trying to figure it out, like what just happened to us. And it felt like betrayal, like somebody did something to us, and it hurt everybody, right? So don't know what that is and what, you know, tribe or where that was, but it was profound. And I see that when it shows up. So now when it shows up in my life, I go, oh, there's that thing. I don't take it so personal. I go, oh, there's that betrayal thing again. Do you have any things that show up like that, or that you feel?
So if you have a pattern from that keeps reoccurring in life after life after life, do you have to keep coming back to deal with that? Or like, how do you? So like with me, I feel like part of my fear with doing this kind of work is maybe because I was punished for it in a past life.
Yeah.
So how do I overcome that? How do I fix that? How do I?
Yes.
And am I going to have to keep coming back as long as I'm fearful of it?
Yes. That is perfect example. Thank you, Mariah. That is perfect example, because many of our listeners probably have felt, you know, we say the woo-woo people, the witches, the spiritual people that have been sacrificed or hung.
Yeah, that's why I don't like anything tight.
And if I remember correctly, we were in a process one time where I said to clear the fear, that we were going to clear the fears from doing this sort of work. And didn't you say you had a panic of being hung or something around your throat? Yeah. So absolutely, you can be, question is, how do we, doing the processes like you did, overcoming the fear, really stepping in and saying, this is what I do. So I think about this in this time period, okay, in this time period that we're living in today, we can look at things from a space of, we're more open, right? Everybody is more open, and it seems like there's this big spiritual movement. And so it's not underground like it's been before. However, it still is very much underground, because there still is a lot of big religions, you know, Christianity, the Muslim religion, you know, all the big religions that sort of don't allow people to participate in what we would consider pagan rituals or traditions, or indigenous, depending on how you look at it. And so I think that a lot of people who now are in those beliefs, that do ceremony, that work with herbs, that, you know, work in a spiritual, energetic way, still have a tendency to hold back and kind of keep quiet what they do, right? So, for example, we have a lot of community members here at Strawberry Moon who say, oh, I come here. So first they come here and they're like, oh my God, it's amazing to feel like I'm not the only one doing this. I'm not the only one who like smudges my house and talks to the birds and feeds the, you know, ancestors, but they don't talk about it in their families. But they're like, I put my altar away when my family comes over. I don't talk about this at the holidays. I don't, because there is stigma attached to it. So yes, this is the problem. We then have to keep healing it every lifetime to overcome it. However, to keep doing it is the key. If you go, oh no, that scares me. That is something I don't want to be out in public with it. I don't want to. I feel right now our mission is to bring the old beliefs, and I'm talking old, ancient beliefs that come from our cosmic relatives, not just what we think are the traditional or ancestral things, right? Because there's a limit. Like, we sort of have in our mind that history only goes so far. And in my belief, we have a whole history of ancient teachings and history that is not in the books anymore, that they don't talk about, or we have just these teeny tiny pieces of it. You know, thank God for shows like Ancient Aliens, where they keep dredging stuff up and they're like, you know, what about this? And this is a possibility and blah, 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 where we don't have, that's not our curriculum on planet Earth right now, where that's, you know, where everybody agrees this is what happened. There is a curriculum that mainstream goes, this is what happened, and everybody goes, okay, and then they go on. So I feel that our work now, the mission that many of us have now, is to bring that old ancient truth back. I think that's why shows like, you know, the Vikings is so popular. I love that show. That is so popular because it does bring up some of this old stuff that we still are afraid to be out there with. So yes, to answer your question, every lifetime that you come, if it shows up again, we need to go into the fear. We need to continue to do the work around it, because if you don't go into the fear, right, we have this emotional charge, which is fear. If we don't go into it, what then happens?
It'll just get bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah, like, because the emotional charge overcome. Is fear.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to keep focusing on the fear, which is going to get bigger, which is going to attract, you know, not only is it going to attract the people who don't like my woo-woo stuff, they're going to attract the people who will hang me for my woo-woo stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And so we want to continue to go into the work, go into feeling. Okay, so in this lifetime, if you focus on the fear of the things that may have happened to you in another lifetime, as if you were part of, let's say you were a witch that was hung in the witch hangings, or you could have been a spiritual priest, shaman, that was conquered. And, you know, we know from history that a lot of, sacred texts, mystery school, participants were killed at some point. So if you have a fear from one of those lifetimes, the emotional charge of that fear, if you focus on it, it will expand, and then you'll attract more of that. So you will attract not only the people that think they're, you know, inappropriate or, you know, witchy or believers, the non-believers, that if you will not only attract them and their criticism, or, you know, they'll throw oranges at you, you will attract the person that comes to hang you. Even in my favorite book, Bless Me Ultima, right? They come for her, at one point, because she's responsible for, you know, whatever things she had been doing, and they wanted, you know, to harm her. By going into the fears from our other lifetimes, and this is something I really also want the listeners to understand. You can get, you know, I say everything in moderation. Don't get obsessed with your past lives to the extent where you then, I know people who get so into their past lives that they're not even living very well in the life that they're incarnated in now. Oh, yeah. You know, we want to be able to, you know, look at them, go and not take it. Like, when somebody is told you were murdered in a past life, or you were hung as a witch in a past life, they freak out, right? And then they take it like so devastating. It's like, okay, just take it and say, now I need to work around, how can I work around that? So whether it is clearing the fear, the emotional charge of the fear, doing ceremony, doing the things that you know how to do, to heal that lifetime, don't get trapped in the story of it. If you find out that like somebody you care about in this lifetime hurt you in another lifetime, this is my theory. I've had people in this lifetime who have, you know, harmed me, really severely harmed me in other lifetimes. And I know, you know, somewhat for sure, but they've done a lot in this lifetime to fix that. They're working on their past life karma. And so in their past life karma, what's the word I'm looking for? To reconcile that with me. They've opened a lot of doors. They've done really beautiful things for me in this lifetime. So I don't hold it against them. I'm like, okay, we made a promise coming back in this time. You were going to do something to, help to rectify what you did to me in that lifetime. Right. And so, and I think that can be, you know, both ways. Maybe both of us were not so good to each other in a lifetime, another alternate lifetime. And so in this lifetime, we're trying to reconcile that. So we see that, with relationships, friendships. I firmly believe that, you know, like my crew here, my sisters, I firmly believe that each of us has had a lifetime together, other lifetime together, whether it was one-on-one together as, you know, a group. I firmly believe that, you know, you might have, your mother might be your mother in this lifetime, but she could have been your daughter or your sister or your spouse in another lifetime. That's hard for people to sometimes grasp. I have a cousin who her daughter, she was giving her daughter a bath one time and she was little. And she said, "Hey, mom, remember when I used to give you a bath? Remember when I was your mom?" And my cousin called me all freaked out, like, "What is she talking about?" And I'm like, oh my God, I was so thrilled. And she was little. She was only like 3. And so I was like, that's just proof that she remembers that you had another lifetime together. So, what was I going to add to that? People are going to ask, how do I find out these lifetimes? Okay. Familiarity, like we said, having your own sense of like, you know, I feel like I did that in another lifetime. I feel like I lived there in that country, or I feel like I lived in that time period, or definitely when people are attracted to a certain part of history and like obsessed with it, right? Like really into it, researches it, you know, does all that kinds of, those kinds of things. I firmly believe that they probably had a lifetime there. The other things you can do is, like past life regression, which is when someone takes you into a hypnotized state. And those are really fun because you go into a hypnotized state and they can bring up memories where you can be very specific. You'll say, "Oh, I'm in, you know, 1913 and this is my profession and this is what I do and this is how old I am." And you, can bring up all the details and they can go back as many lifetimes as you need. Past life regression is really good for, healing the things like we were talking about with Mariah. Is if you went in and said, "Okay, I have this situation I'm dealing with in this lifetime and it keeps reoccurring. I want to see if it's, you know, showed up somewhere else. Like, where's the root cause?" And they can take you into a hypnotized state and your consciousness, your subconscious, the unconscious mind has all the memories it knows. And so it can take you into that space. And the hypnotist, the person who is an expert at this, now this takes an expert to do this, can take you into that and retrieve that information for you. So that's one way. The other way is to go to see someone who does Akashic readings. Akashic records are, for our listeners that might not know, Akashic, what is it? A-K-A-S-C-H-I. Yeah, I think that's how you spell it. Akashic record readings are a lot of fun, and can bring you a lot of information. You see somebody who can go into the records. The Akashic records are a record. This is what is so amazing, of everything ever. So this is what I always think about. I want to go into the Akashic records and find the very first blade of grass that ever grew. Because it is in record. Every thought, emotion, action, person, living creature is documented in the Akashic records. So think about that for a minute. Everything in every existence, in any place time, space, dimension ever, 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 anywhere. It is recorded in the Akashic Records. So if you can access the Akashic Records, you can get information about anything you choose. Now, it is not a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it is immoral to go into someone else's records. We don't go into other people's records without their permission. You can go into yours and see if they were in, if they're in there. So an Akashic reader can go into the Akashic records and you can ask, like, you know, did Mariah and I have this lifetime together? And she could say yes. And they can give you so much information that is in, you know, a reference to me that can help me, but we can't go in. I can't say, okay, then did Mariah do X, Y, and Z? They can't morally look at that. Okay. But Mariah then can go, like, if we went in and had a reading together, they could that definitely say, oh, together you did X, Y, and Z together. So if we were having a conflict, or if we wanted to see, like, what was the greatest thing we ever created together? And I mean, wouldn't that be really cool? We should do that. I should have the four of us do a reading and see if we record, if we created a podcast in another time, space, and dimension. I bet it was called...
It was carved in the cave wall.
I bet it was backwards. It was something like, what would be opposite of the sacred donut? I don't know. The upside down wafer. I don't know. My mind goes in place. So you can find there are lots of people that do that. You know, I always joke that I have somebody who does read them. And if anybody ever wants her information, I won't give it here because I didn't get her permission, but we could probably do that. But she reads the Akashic Records and she has said to me before, like, I don't know why this isn't part of your work. Why do you not do this? And I said, I get bits and pieces when I work with people. I'll see something, especially when they're on my, you know, table in the healing. I will see something, but I have problems coming back with the exact information. I'm like, I don't know, you were wearing some kind of sandals that had a strap that looked like it was made from a rattlesnake. Like, she comes back with, like, it was 1500.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't you have to be really educated in historical times?
And that's where I don't know. Is she educated or is she getting the information? Yeah, she's getting the information. So that's the key that, you know, you would want to be proficient in. I have taught a class where people have went into the records and they're learning how to read them. But it definitely takes, you know, you've got to know if you're going to do that kind of thing, you've got to know more, or, you know, or be that good where you come back and you know, because she comes back and she's like, the tribe was this on this island, 5,000, you know, AD or BC or whatever. And, you know, I will not say I'm that good. I am not that good. That is not my forte. Past life regression, Akashic records, familiarity, right? Your own personal. And, you know, again, take that trust. You know, I really teach around here that trust your own intuition. If you feel strongly that you had a lifetime somewhere, then definitely you probably did. This is also how we know our people, our soul people, where we go, I know you, I've known you before, we've walked together before. Like, that minute that somebody feels that familiar to you, like, oh, I know we had a past life together, right? We've heard stories of, like, people meeting and saying, oh my gosh, we were together before, and maybe we can't be together now, but we were once lovers or once married or whatever, right? So, and that is, that is not an easy thing to do when you cram in thousands of lifetimes and have these experiences in this one lifetime. And it's like, well, we were married in that other lifetime, but we can't be now because we're both married to other people and we're having this experience. So, So a lot, we have a lot more we could talk about in this area. Mariah, do you want to add anything else before we go on?
No, I think you answered a lot of questions I had. I didn't realize, like, when we picked the topic, I was kind of like, I don't know if I had, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, oh, maybe that's why, and maybe this is why. And
yeah, that you've had these experiences. Uh-huh.
And, like, also, I'm assuming, like, if I have a certain vision that's very vivid during a meditation, that's probably
Yes.
A slash.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that because that's another one. If you have had, like, you know, we've done classes here, but if you're meditating, if you're in process, if you're in ceremony, if you go in and you have a vision, and some people don't realize they're having visions. If they're not very, you know, if this is all new to them, they're like, how do I know if I'm having a vision? If there is any part of you that goes, you know, all of a sudden your mind is showing you these things. Like, it's not your imagination. I hear this all the time where, is this my imagination? No, because where did it come from? All of a sudden you just have this thought, this memory, it's there, especially, like I said, sacred sites, ceremonies, things that hit your senses, soul connections. It triggers the memory, the cellular memory, the DNA in your body to go, I know what this is. I've been here before. I've done this before. For me, definitely anytime the first time I entered a ceremony or, worked with a certain healing modality, I knew I was like, oh, I've done this before. I've done this before, just in a different way or different place. Okay. Okay. So, I think that covers it. And then, we may do some additional, part two on this because we could, you know, really get deep and maybe people have more questions and.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys have any questions, send them to the email, which would be thesacreddonutpodcast@gmail.com.
Yay. So, let's do a quick one. We'll do a quick process. Just to sort of stir the past, the alternate lives, the alternate life memories within you. Okay, take a nice deep breath. God, Goddess, all that is, Pachamama, Antepasado, Swinged Beings, all of our soul's counsel, our teachers, our guides, our angels. We thank you so much and we ask that you create sacred space. I ask that you circle around all of us and our listeners and place us in a high vibrational space. I ask to begin to activate within us the memories, the knowing of other lifetimes. As the life you are experiencing in this moment is happening, there is a life, many lifetimes happening at the same time. And we ask today that any recurring influence, any impression that is especially negatively affecting you, right? If it's working, we'll keep it. If it is a constant negative experience or aggravation or irritation or something that is holding you back, that's what I'm looking for. We ask today that that which is holding you back from other lifetimes, we ask for this to be seen, to be cleared. We ask that the karma that comes with this impression, this imprint, we ask that that karmic debt be paid today, that we cancel that debt. I ask today to go deep into every cell of your body, into your DNA, and begin to activate this memory, to bring it to the surface, to unlock the potential that you have that may be suppressed or held back due to other lifetimes. I ask that if you have harmed anyone in any other lifetimes, that today you are forgiven. And I ask that you forgive those who have harmed you in other lifetimes that you are unaware of, but that have greatly pressed upon the life you are experiencing now. I ask for forgiveness to greatly influence this lifetime here now. so that you may be set free, liberated, healed. I ask today for all the blessings to shower down upon you. Bantio Shahao, Bantio Shakwa, Ometeo. Amen. So it is.
Bantio Shahao, Bantio Shakwa, Ometeo. Amen. So it is. I will leave you in this quiet state. May you have a blessed day, week, month, until we meet again.